the font, God makes us citizens of an eternal kingdom. We are citizens of heaven, Paul says. That's our commonwealth. And from heaven we await our Savior, Jesus Christ. You probably noticed that in the bulletin that I put for the children's message some new words to what might be a familiar song to you. And the song is God Bless the USA. Have some of you heard that song? And so it goes like this. I'm proud to be a Christian because in Christ I'm free, and I won't forget the one who died on the cross of Calvary. So I'll gladly stand up next to you and praise his holy name, for there ain't no doubt about it, right? Yeah, I love the Lord. Because there, how's that going now? I should know this here. Because there ain't no doubt, I love my Lord who took my sins away. Let's sing that together, okay? You recognize that tune? I'm proud to be a Christian because in Christ I'm free, and I won't forget the one who died on the cross of Calvary. So I'll gladly stand up next to you and praise his name today. Because there ain't no doubt I love my Lord who took my sins away. Different words and a different kind of freedom. Not just the freedom that we enjoy in this country, not just the freedom that we enjoy as Americans, but the freedom that God gives us in Christ through his death and his resurrection and our union with Christ immersed into that eternal life, into that new citizenship that is literally out of this world. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Lord in capital letters. The great I Am, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Exodus God, the God of the cross, the God of the third day, the great I Am, who, according to our first reading for tonight, appeared to Moses at the age of 80 and commissioned him to be the liberator of his people. The people of God were slaves in Egypt. And God says, I've heard their cries. I know their suffering. And I'm sending you down there to set my people free. And you will show Pharaoh my glory with 10 plagues. God appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai, also known as Horeb, in a burning bush that didn't burn up. And Moses approached it, and he was instructed to take his shoes off. Because when you're in the presence of God, you're on holy ground. And on holy ground, we need to bow before the altar of the Lord and worship the one who is sovereign. The Lord is sovereign. God commissions Moses to set his people free from Egyptian captivity, and Moses has every excuse in the book as to why he can't do it. Freedom isn't free. And so there's a price that always must be paid for the liberation that God gives. Eventually, Moses does go. God gives him his name. I am who I am for whom I choose to be. The great I Am. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. God says, I'll give you a final sign. When you have set my people free, you will assemble here on this holy mountain of Sinai, and my people will participate in a service of worship. According to Exodus chapter 3, when people are set free, that's what they do automatically by nature. They worship the freedom giver. Now, patriotism is good and nationalism is good, but if we begin to venerate a flag or a nation rather than our citizenship that is beyond borders, our walk with Christ, then all of a sudden we begin to deify that which is not Lord. There are many people on this 4th of July that are thinking about everything else but praising God or worshiping the one who is sovereign. Last Sunday, I was at worship at Christ Community Church, 1,500 some members. They worship on Saturday evenings, 300-400 people. They worship twice on a Sunday morning. And so once in a while, I go there for worship on a Sunday morning. I was there, and the first announcement they made was, you know that this coming Saturday is the 4th of July. I thought, okay, this is a big church. I bet you they're going to pull out all the stops. I bet you they're going to have quite a celebration of worship. But instead they said, so we won't be having worship on Saturday night. I found that strange, that a church that understands that our freedom is in Christ, that we pledge allegiance to the sovereign God of the universe, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would say, well, you know, we're going to have to put worship on the back burner on Saturday. Because you know, after all, it is the 4th of July. Now to me, and this is just my opinion, that really seems un-American. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus says to the Jews that had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they immediately say, we haven't been captive to anyone. We're children of Abraham. They've been captive to everyone. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They were slaves to the Babylonians and to the Assyrians and to the Persians. They were slaves to the Greeks and slaves to the Romans. What do you mean we've never been slaves? And Jesus says, well, technically, because you're children of Abraham, sons and daughters, we are, through baptism, Paul says in his letter to the church at Galatia. Technically, you're right. Since the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. However, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And the slave, Jesus says, doesn't have a permanent place in the house unless the slave is redeemed and adopted. Then the slave becomes a son, a daughter, who is free indeed, whose citizenship is not just in a particular nation of this earth, but whose citizenship is in heaven, from which we await a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember what Paul says in his Christ hymn, in his letter to the church at Philippi? He says, the day is coming when every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. He's sovereign. Since the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Blessed is the nation, Psalm 33, verse 12, whose God is I am, the Lord, Yahweh, the God and Father of Jesus, your Savior. And then it continues in Psalm 33 by saying, for the Lord has made you his inheritance, a people which is the Lord's chosen inheritance. We belong. And it's good to be proud of being an American. And there are people who come over here as immigrants who have to really know our history. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't know our history. Lee was telling me, I think it was some of the high school seniors that were graduating. They were given a quiz as far as, what do you know about the birth of our nation? What's the birth of our nation here? You know, Declaration of Independence. And one of the students put 1962. Well, in case you didn't know, the Declaration of Independence was not written and presented on July 4th. July 2nd. And it wasn't signed on July 4th. It was signed on August 2nd. Betsy Ross did not design and sew the first American flag. And 50 years after July 4th, 1776, 50 years later, on July 4th, 1826, the second president of the United States, John Adams, and the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, both died. Lots of things that we don't know or that we start to assume about the history of our nation. I pledge allegiance to the God and Father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and set me free from captivity and slavery to sin, to the self, to the grave, and who gave me the commonwealth of heaven. You know, even the phrase in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm guessing that many of you had the same experience that I did growing up, where you started the school day, there was a flag in the classroom, and you stood up and you said the Pledge of Allegiance. It was a later addition to put one nation under God. And yet, even that little caveat of under God doesn't protect us, because in today's world and in today's USA, it's God as you understand him or her. It's the God within. It's not a matter of us being created in God's image, but now as a nation, we've decided that we're going to fashion God in our own image. So who is it that we pledge allegiance to? Nationalism, patriotism are good things. But what does one do when there's a conflict between exercising our liberties and someone else exercising their liberties, when everything is a matter of subjective, autonomous liberty or opinion? We're free. Stand fast, therefore, Paul says, and do not submit to another yoke of bondage. What does freedom mean? My confirmation kids said years ago, it means you get to do what you want. You get to do as you please. I said, that's not freedom. That's captivity. That's bondage. That's sin. That's death. Freedom is getting to do what God wants us to do. St. Paul, in our second reading for today, Romans chapter 13, says some words that can be a little bit difficult to swallow unless we unearth them. Paul says, be subject to the governing authorities. That means the governor of Minnesota. That means the mayor of Rochester. That means the president of the United States. Be subject to the governing authorities, because no authority exists except by God. It's from God, right? And the authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Now, what's the understanding of Paul's words to the Christians at Rome? Does that mean that we have blind obedience to our nation, to our civic leaders? You see, the assumption that Paul makes is an important one. Render unto God the things that are God's, Jesus said, and unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The coin's got his image on it, give it to him. It's just a hunk of metal. But you've got God's image on you. That means that you, your life, and everything you say, everything you do belongs to God. Render that to God. In the book of Acts, the early Christians said we must obey God rather than human authority. And so when Paul says in Romans 13, be subject to the governing authorities, because none of them exist except that God has instituted them, he is assuming that in the same way we need to be obedient to our civic rulers, then those politicians and those authorities also need to be obedient to God. Not exercising their own volition and will, but always seeking to serve God's people and to do God's will. Be subject to one another, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, out of reverence for Christ. There's no problem with being subject to one another as long as the other recognizes that Jesus is Lord, that he's supreme, that he is sovereign. Once in a while I see comments on Facebook One of my Facebook friends is a man named Barry Mowers. He's from Little Falls, Minnesota. And Barry gave me an illustration this past week on Facebook of conflicting liberties. In other words, he said, my neighbor is free to have chickens and roosters. And so he's raising chickens and eggs and roosters, but the rooster gets up every morning, 4:30 or 5 o'clock a.m. And he said, it's been unseasonably warm and we don't have air conditioning, so I had the windows open so that the fresh air could come in, and I didn't particularly appreciate being awakened at 4:30 in the morning with the crow of the rooster. He said, it's probably the same neighbor that likes to burn his pile of leaves. And if you've ever been in a neighborhood when people are burning leaves, it's kind of nauseous. I mean, it just penetrates. And when we used to live in Little Falls, we had to make sure that we kept our windows shut. But how do you do that if you don't have air conditioning and it's 90, 95 degrees? And so that smoke would just come into your house and into your lungs. And Barry said, of course, my neighbor's free to do that. But Paul says to the church at Corinth, if eating meat causes my brother or sister for whom Christ died to stumble, then I won't eat meat anymore. That's what freedom does. Freedom looks at how we can serve the neighbor, not just simply exercise our own will. I heard on the radio the other day, they said, for people shooting off fireworks, remember that that really bothers wildlife. If you've got a pet, we had a dog that it seriously bothered, it kind of threw him into chaos. And then the radio announcer said, and if you're going to shoot off fireworks in your neighborhood, make sure that you've checked with your neighbors. Because maybe there's somebody that's a veteran there that is battling post-traumatic stress disorder. And suddenly shooting off those fireworks when he doesn't know, that'll be like being back on the battlefield. What does freedom look like? Because we're free, we're supposed to be free indeed. But the exercising of our freedom can, in fact, be in conflict at times with the good and gracious will of God. So that's why you have civil disobedience. When we live in a democracy where the highest power are 9 individuals appointed for life, the Supreme Court, and they vote 5-4 and they change marriage in our land, what does that mean? Well, it might mean that we light up the White House in a rainbow color. Even though that's offensive to those of us who see the rainbow as a Jewish and Christian symbol of baptism, God's glory, and God's promises. When we put things to a vote and we say, that's what's going to rule, how can you be subject to your governing authorities when they're not willing to be subject to God, to His revealed word, and to His holy will? Well, that's the freedom we have, at least right now, the First Amendment, right? To exercise religion. Although that was noticeably absent, you can proclaim it, you can teach it, but the word exercise was absent from the recent court ruling. I don't know what that's going to mean about liberties in America. All I know that in the scriptures, God's people, when they were forced to make a choice between obeying God and obeying civil authorities, they knew that the flag was not Lord of their life. And they knew that there was something even more important than being an American. I'm proud to be a Christian because in Christ I'm free, and I won't forget the one who died on the cross of Calvary, right? So we gather together and we praise the holy name of Christ. Even if we're throwing some of those poppets, we announce to the world that the sovereign authority in our life is something greater than just the red, white, and blue. What is sovereign in our life is the Word of God, which is revealed in God's incarnate Son, Jesus, who died on the cross to set us free from our sins and from the grave and to give us our commonwealth in heaven. And that's what we live for. And that's what we praise God for. That's what freedom is. Because the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Reverend Thomas Long shared this story with me a number of years ago when I was at a conference. I've never forgotten it. I'm not trying to be partisan about politics, but Jimmy Carter was a president of the United States, and when he was running for political office, as some of you know, he taught Sunday school at the Baptist Church in Plains, Georgia, every Sunday. And so when the reporters were following him on the campaign trail, one Sunday morning, he was, what he liked to do, in church worshiping. And when he came out, all the reporters were there, and they said, Mr. Carter, was the sermon inspiring? Mr. Carter, did you enjoy the music that the choir sang? Mr. Carter, when you get to Washington, D.C., are you still going to be a Baptist, or will you worship somewhere else? And then finally, there was a reporter that offered an important question. Mr. Carter, when you become president of the United States, what are you going to do if the law of this country is in conflict with the law of God? Will you obey the laws of this nation, or will you obey the commandments of God? And Jimmy Carter, maybe still, you know, caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, just having come from worship, because that's what free people do, you know, they worship. He looked at the reporter, and he said something very unpolitically incorrect, right? It wasn't politically correct. He said, I would, of course, obey the commandments of my Lord. And right away then, his entourage whisked him away, because he shouldn't have said that. Carter, the politician, or Carter, the Christian, knowing that we must obey God rather than man. That's the freedom we have. The freedom of speech, the freedom to exercise religion in this nation. I'm glad that I live in the United States. Paul was glad that he was a citizen of Rome. It afforded him all kinds of privileges. But I also know, and so do you, that when the line is drawn, we know who it is that we pledge our allegiance to. Because someday, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Be subject to the governing authorities, for no authority exists except from God. It exists because God has instituted it. And because the Son sets you free, be free. Be free indeed, to the glory of God and for the good of your neighbor who needs freedom in Jesus. Amen.